I take my text from St. Luke's Gospel, the story of our Lord's visit to Emmaus. Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend fathers, dear sisters, dear faithful, there was no Mass on Easter morning. It was too busy. Jesus rose from the dead. And then there were the visits that he had to make, not out of politeness or duty, family obligation, but for a particular purpose for each one. There was the woman to be visited first, his blessed mother. How could he not? The evangelist doesn't record it, but he wouldn't need to, not for any son of any mother. St. Bonaventure tells us it was so. And what joy and what consolation for his blessed mother to see her son now risen in glory. No one recorded the resurrection itself. No one saw it, I mean. No one knew the hour of his rising. There was an earthquake. Tombs were opened. The dead came back to life and walked the streets of Jerusalem. How's that for a proof? When Christ's tomb burst with light and his soul was reunited with his body, glorified, the soldiers were blinded. Only later were they bribed to say they were sleeping. Blinded with the glory of it. And Jesus left his three-day prison and went to visit his mother. Sacristan angels tarried behind to tidy things up. The burial cloths, the shroud, I mean, and the napkin that had been placed over our Lord's face. They say, I don't know if it's true, but still today, I think, some people do this. The folded napkin at table. If you fold up your napkin, that means you'll be coming back for seconds. You're not finished eating yet. But if the napkin is left just mussed on the table, that means, thank you very much, we're finished. The napkin was folded, and that's what persuaded St. John when he and Peter finally got around later in the morning to run to the sepulcher. He realized it is true. The women had come very early, it was still dark, with ointments and perfumes to visit and to complete the burial rites of the Jews, but they were too late. He had risen already from the dead. Then our Lord that morning had to go to see St. Peter to comfort him, and St. James, so prayerful and faithful. And Mary Magdalene, she was not to touch our Lord. It was different now. Later on, Thomas, it would be 8 days, Thomas was told, go ahead and touch me, Thomas, and know the mark of my wounds. So it was afternoon by the time our Lord got to some of his disciples, and he went to the apostles only in the evening. For us, Easter is morning, the dawn. And look, some sun has now favored us. And Easter is the morning mass. But you know, in the missions, they are happy to have mass whenever they can. Father McGuire, after this mass, will be getting ready to drive off to southern Illinois to our Holy Face mission to say Mass for the faithful there. And Father McKenna leaves early tomorrow morning to fly to North Dakota. And their Easter Mass will not be until Monday evening and Tuesday evening. And Father Francis Miller, the Franciscan Father, who takes care of the chapel in Dallas, and we assist him, why, he, after all of his Holy Week services, is driving, about 5-6 hours to get to Dallas from Louisiana. Mission hours. He was on a mission. Our Jesus was. After he rose from the dead, that's what he was doing. Cleophas and another disciple, they say it was Luke, they needed visiting. And this visit was the preparation for the second Mass. Necessary steps beforehand to prepare them, and then finally, the offering of the Mass. St. Luke writes, at that time, two of the disciples of Jesus went the same day to a town that was 60 furlongs from Jerusalem, named Emmaus. 60 furlongs, that's about 7 miles. They estimate it would have taken them about 3 hours to make that walk that afternoon, the two disciples. That reminds me that the first American priest, the Frenchman, Father Baden, was the first priest in Kentucky. He obliged his people under pain of mortal sin. They had to walk 5 miles to get to Sunday Mass, if it was available. The priest was there in his little log cabin chapel. And if they had a horse, it was 10. Such is the stuff of which our ancestor Catholics in this region were made. But there was a problem, and that's why they needed visiting. They were heading in the wrong direction, these two. They were going down to Emmaus. They were leaving Jerusalem, the place of the crucifixion and of the resurrection. Why were they going the wrong way? Because their faith, Cardinal Schuster says, was that typical modern faith of sentimental piety. They're eager when the time is right for some religious emotion, but they don't want to understand the necessary link between the sacrifice and the resurrection, Good Friday and Easter Sunday. They were still more Jews than Christians, that is to say, with the love of the material. For them, the idea of eternity was a very vague concept, if that. In suffering, they didn't see how that could fit into the picture. And it came to pass that while they talked and reasoned with themselves, Jesus himself also, drawing near, went with them, but their eyes were held that they should not know him. And he said to them, what are these discourses that you hold one with another as you walk and are sad? Watch out for sadness. St. Thomas Aquinas says that of all the passions, it is sadness that does most damage to the soul. They're sad as they're talking. There'll be a lot of discourses in your Easter meal today, no doubt. And some will talk religion and some will talk politics. Smart people will talk weather. But religion and politics, I'm sure, are bound to come up today. But never let it be a sad discourse. And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said to him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things that have been done there in these days? To whom he said, what things? Our Lord is not going to hit anybody over the head. He wants to draw them out slowly. And they said, why, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in work and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and princes delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we hoped, the Latin is speribamus, the imperfect. We were hoping that it was he that should have redeemed Israel. And now, besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. They knew, they remembered, they counted the days, but they couldn't put it together not by themselves, not on their own. Yea, and certain women also of our company affrighted us, who before it was light were at the sepulchre, and not finding his body came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, who say that he is alive. But these were the women. You're not going to take what they say seriously. We're men. We have things figured out. They ignored that witness. And some of our people went to the sepulcher and found it so, as the women had said. But him they found not. And then he said to them, now comes their chastisement. Our Lord wants to lead them to contrition. O foolish, he calls them stupid. O foolish and slow of heart to believe in all things which the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and so enter into his glory? But for a Jew it made no sense. But for a Christian nothing else does. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things that were concerning him. Now watch what's happening here. They're talking religion, as people will. Then our Lord comes and he explains religion to them in a nice way, draws them out. Then he explains Moses and the prophets. That's something between a Bible study class and catechism or a doctrinal sermon. They have an understanding now. But that's not enough. And they drew nigh to the town, whither they were going, and he made as though he would go farther. He gave them the impression he didn't want to stop because they wanted him to stop to dinner. It was Easter, after all, at the inn. But they constrained him, saying, stay with us, because it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent. That's the duty of charity, says St. Gregory the Great. St. Augustine, before him, you don't just offer once. That's a tradition of hospitality, which, as with so many things in our corrupt culture, is almost gone. But in the Latin culture, you see it. And in the Middle East, you see it still. And you may experience they have to force you to accept their hospitality. It's not that one weak offer and then, well, that's a relief, they're gone. No, no, not at all. Not if you want to practice the virtue of charity. They give him a reason to stay. It's almost dark. And he went in with them, he went in with them to the inn, and it came to pass. Now comes the Mass, the second Mass of our Lord. Not generally known, but they knew. How did they know? Whilst he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed and brake and gave to them. They remembered that from just a few days before at the Last Supper. And then what happens? Their eyes were opened and they knew him. Their eyes were opened only at the Mass. Discussion, Bible study, catechism, some sense of contrition or sorrow, a little bit of do-gooding, real, sincere charity. None of these are enough to constitute a Christian. That's a surprise for most of the world, which still claims that title. You must have the Mass in order to have your eyes opened and to know him. And as soon as our Lord had consecrated and received, he vanished out of their sight because he is risen now from the dead. And then they understand. Was not our heart burning within us whilst he spoke on the way and opened to us the scriptures? Blessed Peter Julian Aimard says, that none of these other things would have been enough had it not been for the Holy Eucharist. And rising up the same hour, they went back to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 gathered together and those that were with them, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." And they told what things were done in the way, and how they knew him in the breaking of bread. That's the oldest and the original title of the sacrifice of the Mass. And at a quiet, low Mass, if you listen, you may hear it, symbolical of the death of Christ. The sacred host is broken. This is the only Mass that our Lord said after the Last Supper, according to the Gospels. And he said it where? At an inn. When, late in the afternoon on Easter, the day being far spent, "Dear faithful and friends, blessed are you if you have a Mass at your convenience every Sunday morning. But think today of our fellow Catholics in the missions. Some of them are visiting us here from far away, and how isolated they find themselves most of the time. How far away is the Mass, and how few are the Masses they may be able to attend. And those Masses may indeed be offered still today in an inn or a home." As you tuck into your Easter dinner this afternoon, and I wish all of you a good appetite and a wonderful Easter celebration at home, think of those priests who will not be having Easter dinner, who will be going to visit some disciples somewhere, and maybe they are sad and confused about some things, but with the Mass, their hearts will burn and their eyes be opened as they are fed with the bread of understanding and know the Lord Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Thomas A'Kempis says in the Imitation, "They truly know their Lord in the breaking of the bread, whose heart burns so mightily in them from Jesus walking with them." I could wish you no greater grace this Easter. Oh, maybe one. The next time you are tempted, maybe 8 days from now, to miss your Sunday Mass, may the stranger from Jerusalem come and walk with you. God bless you. Blessed Easter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.